Have I got it on now? Can you hear me now? That other phone company used to say that. That's an inside joke. I used to work for the phone company, but not that one. Anyway, Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them, all these things that have been listed, not gold, but all these other things. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Did you know that there's no such thing as pure gold? No such thing. I did a little research on that, and my ring now, for instance, is 10 carat. You know, gold, pure gold, they say is 24 carat. Of course, they have to harden gold because it's the most malleable or pliable of all metals. Pure gold, you can, you know, with your own hands, you can just form it. That's how soft it is. But nevertheless, they put something with it, you know, another metal like copper or silver or something like that. But that, even pure gold, there's really no such thing. In fact, pure gold, to be sold as pure gold, it must be between 99.95% and 99.99% gold. There's just a little something in there that's not gold. Now, you can get it finer than that by refining and refining. In fact, in rare cases, you can get it from 99.999 to 99.9999. It's still got that little one little something in it that's not pure gold, you know. One commentator he said, the only place we're going to find pure gold is in the New Jerusalem. He didn't say anything about in the Old Testament where the Lord instructed Moses and the children of Israel to cover the ark over with pure gold or make some of the instruments in the ark out of pure gold. It does say pure in my Bible. Is that a process that's been lost, an ancient process? I don't know. I'll say right off, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing I do know. The law of the Lord, it is perfect. No impurities in it at all. And it will convert your soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. No unsurety there at all. It's sure. And it'll make you wise if you're simple like me. The statutes of the Lord are right. No unrighteousness there at all. Not one little smidget, but they're all completely, totally right. And they will rejoice your heart. And the commandment of the Lord is pure. No impurities in God's commandment. They will enlighten your eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean. No uncleanliness there. And it will endure forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. No .999999, you know, but altogether. They're completely true and righteous altogether. And it says there more, all of these things are more to be desired, God says, than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And they're sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb, and that's mighty sweet. And it says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Warning, a warning. And that is God's judgment against all unrighteousness and uncleanliness. a warning, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Great reward. That's what God says about His Word, that it's much more precious, much better than gold, yea, than much fine gold. All right, that was the first thing we looked at. If you will, turn to the New Testament, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. We looked at another thing that God says is much more precious to Him than gold. The second thing is found here in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verse number 3. We'll read a little bit. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy. Notice He's abundant in mercy. According to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope. A living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Man, that's going to be some kind of inheritance, isn't it? You know, eye has not seen and ear hadn't heard what's waiting in store for us. That's good. Verse 5, and talking about us, those of us who are saved, he says, who are kept by the power of God. You know, we can't keep ourselves saved. Well, I couldn't save myself to start with, and I can't keep myself saved. It's the power of God that is keeping me. That's good too. That's real good. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or tests. And verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. The trial of your faith. Now, if you're saved, and I trust all of you are, your faith has been tried or will be tried many times in your life. And if it hadn't been yet, just wait. It will be. There's going to be something that's going to come along and you're going to say, Lord, why me? Why has this happened? Why is this happening? This is terrible. And despite whatever comes along, you and me, we need to look to God and trust Him through any trial of our faith. And I don't mean to say, well, you know, I'm just talking about things that come your way. I think back about two young men, my two sons, I thought, well, if I can ever, Lord, just get them to go down the street in their vehicle and not hit somebody. You know, and at the time, I felt like that was a tremendous trial of faith. You know, I just had to have faith that they were eventually going to not just run slap into somebody, you know. But Whatever the trial, and that's a minor thing, I know, but to me it was a major thing. But whatever you're going through, God has said, I'm there with you, and I'll go all the way with you. And I'll stay with you all the way. Look, if you will, at 1 Corinthians, and keep your place here in Peter. But if you will, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is a very familiar verse. Chapter 10, and we'll read two verses. 1 Corinthians 10, starting in verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, you know, what that says to me is, Randy, don't think you can do it all by yourself. You need to have your eyes fixed upon the Lord. You need to have your faith and all your confidence in Him and not look to yourself. Because you think you're doing something, the first thing you know, you're going to hit the ground. You know, they're just going to wipe you out. You need to have your faith, your eyes, and your whole focus on the Lord. Verse 13 says, there hath no temptation or testing taken you, but such as is common to man. And that says to Randy, no matter what kind of problem you think you've got, don't feel like the Lone Ranger. It's happened to somebody else. And I know some folks have some very, very serious things that are very rare. But the Lord says there's nothing going to come your way, but somebody else hasn't went through it. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that you're able, but will with the temptation or testing also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Very familiar passage. The whole lot there. You don't need to turn there, but in Hebrews chapter 4, God tells us that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted or tested like as we are, yet without sin. Who can we turn to when things really get tough? It's to the Lord Jesus. That's who we can turn to. He's went through all these things. He knows where we're at. He knows what we need. And then, of course, in Hebrews chapter 12, right after that great chapter 11 on the heroes of faith, He tells us, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's who we need to look to. He goes on later, in a verse or two later, says, consider Him. Consider the Lord Jesus. Think about Him. And that's hard to do. I know it is. When you've got something, or when I've got something, it seems like it's just overwhelming. The Bible tells us to look to Him and consider the Lord Jesus. Consider Him. What He went through to purchase our redemption. Good advice. Good advice. Back in 1 Peter chapter 1, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. That's strange, isn't it? Gold that perisheth. You know, I love history and anything that comes along historical. I didn't go to school I went to high school. That's really it. But I just love history. When something historical comes along, I like to read about it, hear about it. I saw where they went down, and I might have said this before, you know, when you get old, you repeat yourself. But anyway, I saw this on a documentary when they found the Titanic, that was that big ship that floundered on its maiden voyage, was headed to New York. I think a lot of rich people, they died on there. It's terrible, terrible tragedy. But when they found it with those deep sea dive things they got, they found a gold coin on the floor of the purser's office. It was a Roman coin. That goes way back. They brought that thing up, That gold just comes right on back up, But it says here, gold that perisheth. Strange, isn't it? Turn over to 2 Peter. Keep your finger there in 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. All right, the heavens is going to pass away with a great noise at this great day of the Lord, which incidentally is going to come very unawares to folks, as a thief in the night. The heavens are going to pass away with a great noise, and the elements, Now that's gold, isn't it? Gold and silver and copper and aluminum, all those different metals. Gold, its symbol is AU. Incidentally, pure gold, pure as you can get, it melts at 1,947.52 degrees Fahrenheit. It's pretty hot, isn't it? 10-karat gold, like my ring, it melts at 1,650 degrees approximately. Whew, that'd be warm. Silver, 1,763 degrees Fahrenheit. Do you think this is what they're calling global warming? Well, if it is, it's going to be a lot warmer than they think it is, don't they? But not to mention any names, but not for the reason that they are saying, that my old Chevy's spitting out too much smoke or whatever, The reason for this warming is sin, isn't it? That's the reason. God's judgment. The great day of the Lord. Verse 11, he asks us a question. He asked me one, and you one. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements melt or shall melt with fervent heat? Question mark. Well, that's a question to ponder right there, isn't it? How should I conduct myself? How should we conduct ourselves as Christians, seeing that this is the end, the judgment of the world, and God has already said this is what's going to happen? Okay, that was number two. Number three is back in 1 Peter, chapter 1 again. The third thing that God says is much more valuable to Him and precious than gold that perisheth. 1 Peter 1:17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, and without spot, who verily or truly was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. The precious blood of Christ. God says, this is much more desirable than silver or gold. We were not redeemed with money, with mammon, with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Verse 20 there, it says, truly he was foreordained before the foundation of the world. You know, I just can't get my mind around that. I know it's true, but just to think about it, that the Lord Jesus Christ, He knew before the world's foundations were laid that He would come to earth and die on the cross for my sin and your sin. That's no offense, Brother Johnson, but when I've got a dental appointment, I dread it. And he's always been a very good dentist. But at the same time, I just dread it. I don't like to have that needle stuck in my gum. There's other things I dread too. We won't get into all of them, but anyway, there's several things that I dread. And the Bible tells us plainly that the Lord Jesus, He went through all of these feelings. You know, in the garden, He prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He was submissive to the Father's will. We don't have time to turn there, but in John chapters 13, I believe it is, and 18, it says several times there that Jesus knew. He knew when Judas came there with the band of men, you know, to arrest him. He knew all about this. He knew, there were several different things it says that the Lord knew, knowing all things it says, and Jesus knew all these things. He knew before the foundation of the world that He was going to die on the cross. And He willingly did this. He willingly did it. You know, I've got a pet peeve. And it's not just... Let me... 2 weeks ago, we sang a song out of the red book here. And I believe the same song is in the blue book. It's in the state book and the Carolina book. But anyway, you can go to other churches, and that song is in several different books. But basically, the first verse went like this. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. What's beautiful, isn't it? So true. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was, the book says spilt. And I sing shed every time. You know, it's a big difference. Think about it just for a minute. You spill the milk. It's an accident, isn't it? When you spill something, it's done by accident. You don't come in and it's hot inside and you think, well, you know, you got on this big overcoat and you say, well, I think I'll spill my coat. No, you think I'll shed my coat. It's a big difference in those two words. One is something that's done accidentally. One is done purposefully. You fully know when you shed your coat. You do it on purpose. When the Lord Jesus went to the cross, He shed His blood. The Lord Jesus was not a man that was at the wrong place at the wrong time. In Galatians it says, but in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, to redeem them that were under the law. When the time was just right, that's when God sent the Lord Jesus to die on the cross. And He willingly went to the cross. The Lord Jesus was not accidentally crucified. His blood was shed. And that's just a, you know, kind of something that just really, I don't know, when I see that, I just, oh no, why? What a poor choice of words. Okay. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, inestimable in God's sight, how valuable His blood is, and also to me and to you who know Him as Savior. You know, you can have all the gold in the world, can't you? That sure won't save your soul. Only the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we've got time for two more, and those are in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22. Two more things that God says are much more valuable to Him than gold. In Proverbs chapter 22, and incidentally, you know, God used the man Solomon to write most of the Proverbs, and, you know, it was said he was the wisest man who ever lived. He asked for wisdom, and God thought that was, you know, really good. So He granted him his wish and gave him wisdom. He didn't ask for riches, the Bible says, but it pleased God that he asked for wisdom. But Solomon writes here, of course, the Holy Spirit, Solomon was just the dictator, took the dictation, I guess I should say. But anyway, he says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. The first thing, a good name is rather to be chosen. You and I have a choice. This is something that we can choose, a good name. You know, it doesn't make any difference. Sometimes it seems, and I'm 60 years old. I know I don't look it, do I? I really feel like it sometimes. But nevertheless, when you get a little bit older, you pick up a few things just because you're here, you know. But I tell you something, in my life I've observed a Christian can do just about anything. But you let that Christian swindle or cheat somebody out of some money, and the whole world will come right down on them. It seems like that is the worst thing, according to the world, that anyone can do. It's very, very important that, you know, we have a testimony that we're honest with people. That's very important. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You know, there's a lot else that goes with having a good name, though. Not just somebody that don't swindle somebody, you know, but a lot of other things that go with a good name, isn't it? How you treat your fellow man, your fellow worker, your fellow schoolmate, or your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad. There's a whole lot goes with that. The second part of that verse, though, says, loving favor is rather to be chosen rather than silver and gold. Loving favor. You know, gold's been back in the news since we spoke last. In fact, this last week, I think it has fell $200 and some an ounce, you know. And I thought about that when I was watching the television. I said, well, you know, God's riches, they hadn't diminished one iota, have they? That's good, isn't it? My inheritance, your inheritance, It's reserved in heaven for you. It's not diminished in value any. That's real good. I printed this off the internet back in February of this year. Carson City, Nevada. Even though he lived in the same quiet neighborhood for decades, no one seemed to know Walter Simosko Jr. He was so unknown that weeks passed before authorities discovered he had died in his modest Carson City home. I can only imagine how they discovered that. When cleanup crews arrived, they made another startling discovery. The 69-year-old man who had lived so simply had a vast collection of thousands of gold coins worth millions of dollars stashed in old ammunition boxes in his garage. About half of this collection is going to be auctioned off, I guess it already has been, to satisfy some $800,000 in government estate taxes and fees. Okay. And the profits beyond that amount will go to a substitute teacher in San Rafael, California, who is Mr. Simosko's first cousin, and the sole heir. And it took an exhaustive search to locate a Miss Arlene Magdans, his first cousin. An exhaustive search. The coins have been grouped into 11 sets based on type, and they've all been weighed by the ounce. And according to some of them, it's over 600 and some ounces in one different part. And I mean, it's just amazing. In total, there were, and I think if it's a troy ounce, it's 12 ounces, if it's a pound, if it's a regular, if it's 60, whatever. Anyway, it was over 135 pounds of gold in this guy's garage. Despite the millions of dollars in his garage, Mr. Simosko didn't appear to lead a luxurious life. Records show he only withdrew about $500 a month from a modest checking account to pay bills. Learning of her inheritance, however, Ms. Magdans has shunned publicity and not made any comments about the future. She's dropped off of the grid. What? Isn't that something? How sad a story, isn't it? Isn't it sad? Here's a man who just lived 69, died, no friends, no family, nobody. All of that gold out in the garage. And when finally they locate someone who is an heir, after an exhaustive search, she drops off the grid. She just doesn't want anybody to know where she is, who she is, or anything. How sad, isn't it? You know, the riches of this world, the cares of this world, will make you sad. They will really put a burden on you. I'm glad I know the one who's able to lift burdens. And he did it at Calvary's cross. He's able alone to save your soul, to give you a song in your heart, give you that joy, you know, that you've got to get up and go face the world. No matter what your problems are, He's the answer. He and He alone. Thank you.